at yourself, going back and looking at games and seeing how you could have gotten better, and hopefully you learn from that. And then two is just the years, the more years with the players you have to truly understand what their value is and what they're good at, what they're limited at. And I think that can help you formulate even a better game plan from the beginning. So I think it's those two things, but for sure, I think he can get better. And I hope he does, because it just seemed last year, post game, pregame, whenever I was talking to you, that we saw it right in front of us. The best games were the ones where he kind of tailored it towards Mitch and didn't force feed that offense like I was talking about. So hopefully he understands that and understands Mitch better, understands Allen Robinson better. But you know, he's got some new toys with Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet and moving some guys around in the running back with the running backs. But I hope he understands his players better and can make this game plan where they feel like when they walk out on Sunday, they're like, all right, he's figured out my skill set. Now I can just go play.
Did you find Mitch Trubisky's comments a little bit strange when he said, you're going to know, you're going to see a difference in the first snap? You're going to see a difference in the huddle and our body language on the field? I'm not quite sure if it was just him hyperbolizing his excitement, or does that mean that they're... Are they sensing something different, or they've got some sort of surprise in the offing? I think I tend to read too much sometimes into what he says, but that sounded odd to me.
Well, you should be able to tell from the first snap where we're at.
Okay, well, let's start with that. That means that could be telling. That could be something we see different in the run game scheme. Do we see like a wide zone? Do we see something just looks a little bit different than we've seen in the past? That could be number one. But two, I think about it is, you know, we're talking about body language, that I go back to the seasons when I played, that if we underachieved after having a good year, you have a different sense of urgency. You have a different feeling in that building of like, man, we screwed up last year. We didn't maybe dot all the I's and cross the T's and come in here and work as hard as we should. And I think those guys feel that. You know, they came off that 12-4 season with a young team, and they're like, oh, we can do this again. It's no problem. And I think they realize now, no, I've got to work as hard as I did before to get back there. It's not going to come easy with the talent they have. So I think it's those two things that we might see, and I hope it does come that way. And the second thing with them, with their body language and working harder, that stuff, when you get back in Hallis Hall, and unfortunately they haven't had the whole season, but this short training camp or whatever you want to call it, that they understand that, you know, they're under the gun a little bit. We underachieved, and we got to pick it up.
Patrick Manley is going to be with us most Mondays during the 10 o'clock hour, but he's popping on right here to set the scene for us on Friday. The injury report is not good for either team, frankly. Yeah. We've seen Kenny Golladay is on there, and now Jeff Okuda has popped up on there. This is we could be seeing some untested players thrust into important roles with more snaps than expected.
No doubt, but the biggest one that I saw is, I don't want to butcher his first name, but Vitae, the right tackle for him.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a rookie right guard, Jonah Jackson, and Vitae came over from the Philadelphia Eagles. If you think about that right side, if they line up Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack against them, that could be destroying of their passing game, which Matt Stafford, you know, his first 8 games last year looked very good with Daryl Bevel, but that could really hurt them. That's going to be a lot of help, a lot of chipping they're going to have to do on that right side, and hopefully, I don't know if Robert Quinn's going to play. That's an injury I think that's going to hurt the Bears if he doesn't play. But that right side of the offensive line for the Lions, if they have a rookie and a backup tackle who I think has 5 career starts out there, that's good. That's good news for that Bears team.
What do they want to do offensively that the Bears can counter? When Matthew Stafford's really rolling with these guys, what do the Bears need to take away?
Well, first they got to get to the quarterback, because that's the big thing. I think Matthew Stafford last year averaged in the 8 games with Daryl Bevel was averaging 13.1 yards per attempt. So they try to push the ball down the field, and he was very successful with it. But again, if they can get pressure on him, then that's going to stop that, because you've got to hold the ball a little bit longer to get the ball that far downfield. But I think they're going to go after Jalen Johnson. I mean, that's the one. I'm sorry. Why am I drawing a blank on the name? Is it Jalen Johnson, the rookie cornerback?
That's the Bears cornerback.
There we go. That's who they're going to go after. I think that's the guy they're going to try to pick on. You know, you got a guy mm-hmm. coming off the injury, limited reps. That's the guy I think they're going to pick on with Kenny Golladay, if he's healthy. Danny Amendola and the rest of the guys. So that's the way I see them going after him. But I just don't see it. If they've got a rookie right guard, like I said, and a backup right tackle with this Bears defensive front, I just don't see them having much success.
God, this year's been so weird. Without exhibition games, we haven't been able to work ourselves into the season. It's just all of a sudden mm-hmm. Bears football, and there it is. And it's been very strange. No tendencies and no, you know, looking at any new formations. I want to get back to you mentioning outside zone running. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot about it. And when I imagine how it could help the Bears, I'm thinking about some of the counter actions that might be able to get Mitch Trubisky into comfortable places in which either throw or run. I picture like old vintage Broncos Mike Shanahan belly stretch plays that then can involve waggle actions or counter actions on the backside of the defense. What needs to be done, and what has to be different in how it gets blocked if they're talking about outside zone to complement inside zone run?
Well, it's a more lateral step. If you remember the old Bob Wiley we had the bucket step where you've kind of got to, you know, you step more lateral. It's not coming downhill more like Tony Wise or Harry Hiestand. So it's just a little bit of different technique, and it just kind of stretches that offense. And then, you know, what you're going to look for is if the linebacker overruns the hole, the running back has to put his foot in the ground and either cut back or force the hole that's there. That's the big thing. But the way I think about it, if you want to talk to the fan today, is just think about the Rams and the way they run that outside zone and have all that play action off of that. And I do agree that I think that would help Mitch a lot, because that limits his reads and just kind of gets him on the run. And I think he throws the ball pretty well on the run. And then another thing, Dan, is what I got. This is a random thought about, just you mentioned Mitch running. Is he going to run more this year with Nick Foles at backup quarterback? You know, are they that
so they could weather an injury better, yes, if the drop off, yes, isn't the same?
Yes, because I mean, you think about Mitch, when a lot of his success is when he uses his legs, and a lot of the Bears, or not a lot, a few of the Bears wins are when he pulls it down and runs and gets good chunk yardage instead of running out of bounds and kind of turns it up. So I was thinking about that if, you know, take more chances, maybe get some more quarterback runs, or tell him when he pulls it, run. You know, if you don't see it, run. Don't throw it away, because we've got a guy who's a pretty darn good backup, and maybe, yeah, like you said, we can weather a few weeks without him.
The only thing I'm wondering, though, it's if Jimmy Graham is in the game, you're not going to run anything stretching laterally to his side.
Please don't.
Because he either can't, right, he doesn't want to block, he can't block. I guess the right word is he doesn't block, whether by choice or by ability. It's just not something he does. So if he's in the game, anything you're going to be doing is going to be to the other side of the field, right?
Oh, it has to be. But, I mean, if you just look at his career, he's just a giant wide receiver. The best years he's ever had is when he just lines up wide. And I hope to God that's where he's lining up and that's where they put him. Or they, you know, if they do the zone, then boot him out or whatever and have him as the trail guy. But please don't put him out there. They've got other guys to do that. They drafted a guy to help do that. Then they got Harris, the guy from Kansas City, supposed to do that. So he's, to me, is just a giant wide receiver and a mismatch in the red zone. Just score touchdowns. That's all we need. Just play, you know, hopefully he can get back to the way he was in Seattle and the Saints and score those red zone touchdowns.
What do you think Ted Ginn Jr. is going to contribute?
Just that respect on the outside of trying to stretch, you know, the safeties a little bit. I really think that's it. Maybe the home run ball here or there. What is he, 35 now, 34? Yep. I mean, that's amazing for him still playing and having that speed he does. But I think that's the biggest thing he can contribute with. And then you play that long in the NFL, Dan, you're a pro. So I think he can go to that meeting room and he can teach, you know, Miller and the other younger guys of how to be a pro and how to, you know, take care of your body, how to study film, you know, and how to be ready for a game. I think that's the biggest things he can contribute.
Last thing for you, with Tashawn Gibson winning the other safety spot, beating out Deion Bush to be next to Eddie Jackson, what kind of role is he going to play to allow Jackson to be as disruptive as he can be?
I was looking back at some stats and watching some tape, and we talked about, we all want Eddie Jackson, you know, deep, and I'm not sure if Gibson is really going to allow him to do that. I think you're going to see, you know, Eddie move around and be up on the line of scrimmage as well. But I think that's part of Chuck Pagano's defensive scheme. I think he likes to roll those safeties and not kind of show his hand with where they're going to be in kind of disguise. So I don't know if he's truly going to let Eddie Jackson be the free safety or the free roamer back there. But I think it's great to have another veteran presence back there with him. That's, you know, there's just two smart guys that are very good safeties in this league. And I think they can run that defense very well from the back end.
Overall, you're feeling at this moment, just sort of take your temperature on the Bears at the moment, this game and on the outset here, what's your level of optimism?
It's pretty good. I mean, I go back to my history of just playing on the teams we did, where we were heavily loaded talent-wise on defense. And we had some pretty good years. And yeah, we had some lean years and down years, but I feel pretty good. I just think this front four, this front seven is excellent. You got a Pro Bowl cornerback in Kyle Fuller. You got a Pro Bowl safety in Eddie Jackson. You know, the question mark is Jalen Johnson on the other corner. But I think with this defense early in the season, with the limited amount of practice teams have had, that and the continuity they do have, I know it's only the second year with Chuck Pagano, but those guys have all been together for a while, that I think they're going to be okay. I really do.
Patrick, look forward to your contributions on this show on Mondays and everything you'll be doing for the Bet River Sportsbook pregame show as well, 9 to noon on Sunday.
All right. Always good chatting with you, Dan.
That is Patrick Manley. And I forgot to mention, too, that Joe Fortenbaugh picked Duke to beat Notre Dame. But that's neither here nor there. I don't probably think it's happening either. Anthony Herron is next up. He is going to be the 10 o'clock hour on our Football Fridays. So settle in. Anthony Herron coming your way next on The Score.
This is Bears Friday on The Score. Keep listening throughout the day as all of our shows and team of Bears experts get you ready for Game 1. Bears versus Detroit. Bears football is back. So keep it on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
The wait is over. Football is back in action. That means you can watch your favorite players like Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley on Hulu Plus Live TV. Start your free trial today to watch football all season. Get access to over 65 channels and the largest streaming TV library, including exclusive originals and the hottest shows and movies. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski. Go against America's team this Sunday night. FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet on the Rams versus Cowboys. For every 5,000 fans who bet on the Rams to cover the spread, FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook will move the line 1 point in the Rams' favor. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line will keep on moving. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you out at whatever the line is at kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. This is a no-brainer bet, so jump on. If you already have a FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook with incredible odds. Just download the FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with code J. That's J-A-Y. That's FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, promo code J, 21 plus, present in Illinois. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50. Payout at minus 110. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app and use code HILLS. Pick any team.